Margaret, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, how was this study conducted and what did the research find?
We conducted this study in rats because we're actually interested in what happens to the brain in animals that are exposed to extremes, so things such as early life stress or adversity. And we hypothesised that if we combined an early life adverse event with sugar, we may get bigger effects on the brain. And we were actually very surprised to find that sugar itself did a lot without even going near the stress angle.
Now, what is sugar chemically similar to when it reaches the brain?
Well, sugar, as you know, is an important source of energy, and it's made up of two molecules. The brain is a very high consumer of energy. It's something like 25%, I think, of the brain's of our energy source goes to the brain. It's a very energy-demanding organ. And we were interested, really, in whether animals might find sugar useful in terms of reducing their stress levels. That's what prompted us to do the experiment, because we're interested in the link between stress and the foods that we all choose to eat. And we know that yummy foods are often chosen in times of stress because it does seem to have a physiological impact on animals and humans to reduce stress. So we're really interested in whether this sugar could be a behavioural prop, if you like, to reduce the impact of the stress. And, of course, we did this in the rat because we can't possibly do this sort of experiment in the human.
How does sugar actually harm the brain, and what aspects make it comparable to stress and abuse? It seems like such a big call.
Yeah, it is a big call, and it's hard to extend our observations into the human, as I've just mentioned. But we looked in part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is very important for learning and memory. And the hippocampus in all mammals serves a similar function. So we know that humans eating a really bad diet tend to have some small reduction in the hippocampus, which probably isn't good for the brain. But we know from other work that if we eat a really bad diet, humans and animals, that you affect your memory. So we were trying to put these two questions together. So we asked whether high sugar intake, and these animals drank the sugar voluntarily. They had water available, but they chose to drink sugar if they wanted it. We found that there were changes in the hippocampus in genes that are important for nerve growth. So if they were drinking sugar from a young age, their hippocampus, this region that's critical for memory, had reduced levels of molecules that are needed to grow new nerves. That's what was fascinating to us because we got a similar response in the animals who were exposed to stress. So either the stress or the sugar seemed to be having similar effects to the hippocampus.
You're right, it does sound fascinating. Is there a safe level of sugar, I guess, consumption that will not cause damage to the brain at all?
Oh, yes, I think we have to assume that there's a safe level of sugar. And the World Health Organization has actually put out guidelines recently about this, suggesting that in kids, up to 6 teaspoons of sugar is acceptable. It's probably a bit less than a lot of kids are drinking. But I think we're trying to point out in this conversation article that it does really raise alarm if people and animals are eating very high levels of sugar, and our rats did eat large volumes of the sugar because they like it. And this is quite a sweet solution. Soft drink that we know of in our community is about 10% sugar. The sugar we were giving was a bit more concentrated than that. But nonetheless, the animals like it, we may even be able to use the word addicted. They tend to drink it once they know it. So getting back to your original question, small levels of sugar are not going to be harmful to the brain. I think we go back to the old edict of everything in moderation, and the odd sugar sweetened drink I don't think is of any concern, and probably a little bit of fruit juice, because of course fruit juice contains fructose. A little bit of fruit juice isn't going to be too concerning either. It's we're talking about extreme levels.
Well, that is very good news for people like me out there. Now, just finally, is the damage to brains from sugar permanent, or are we able to recover from it?
The reversibility question is a really interesting one, Tess, and we would hope that some of these changes would be reversible. We're actually looking at this in other studies. If you take animals off the diet, does the brain recover? Really important questions. I'm pretty sure this area of the brain is pretty plastic or adaptable, and we would hope that it may be able to be reversed. And of course, things such as exercise, we know, are very beneficial to this part of the brain. So if you were drinking buckets of sugar but doing a lot of healthy activity, you may not have as much of an impact. So it's all about the balance of different factors driving brain health that's important, I think.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thank you.